Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the HFCL Q1 FY27 conference call hosted by Nuvama Institutional Equities. Before we begin, I would like to read a disclaimer statement. Statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature based on the management's current beliefs and expectations. This must be viewed in relation to the risks of the HFCL business basis that could cause its future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Investors are therefore requested to check the information independently before making any investment decision. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Achal Lohade from Nuvama Institutional Equities for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Institutional Equities, we are glad to host the senior management of HFCL Limited. To discuss the Q1 FY27 earnings, we have with us Mr. Mahendra Nahata, Promoter and Managing Director, Mr. V.R. Jain, CFO, Mr. Manoj Baid, Company Secretary, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, Head Investor Relations. We'll start the call with the opening remarks from the management and then move to Q&A. Thank you, and over to Mr. Nahata.
Good evening, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. I extend a warm welcome to all of you on HFCL's earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 26-27. I trust you have had the opportunity to review our financial results, press release, and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the company's website as well as on the website of the stock exchanges. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued interest in HFCL. With strategic initiatives undertaken by the company, HFCL today is on a strong growth path. I am pleased to inform that your company has delivered remarkable performance during the first quarter of financial year 27, with highest-ever quarterly revenue, profitability, and the order book. We have emerged as a global player in optical fiber cables, and optical connectivity solutions, defense, aerospace, telecom products, and digital infrastructure field. Each of these businesses addresses large and rapidly expanding markets, and together they provide HFCL with multiple avenues for sustainable and profitable growth. We are also encouraged by the increasing confidence shown by our customers, business partners, and the investment community. Over the last few quarters, several reputed domestic and global institutional investors have become shareholders of HFCL. We sincerely welcome their confidence in the company. We began financial year 27 with clear priorities to accelerate growth, improve profitability, strengthen our technology leadership, and execute our long-term strategy with discipline. I am pleased to state that the first quarter has been an encouraging start in that direction. The quarter witnessed strong order inflows and execution across our core segments, continued improvement in profitability, and sustained progress on several strategic initiatives that we believe will shape HFCL growth over the coming years. In our previous earnings call, we had outlined our aspiration for delivering around 20% revenue growth during FY27, supported by continued improvement in quality and mix of revenues. Based on the progress achieved in the first quarter, healthy order inflows, favorable industry dynamics, expanding global opportunities, and improving execution capabilities, we, to the best of our estimate, can raise our aspiration for the FY27 to a revenue growth of 40% now. This confidence is not based on any single order or short-term opportunity. It is supported by multiple growth platforms that are gaining momentum simultaneously and providing greater visibility to our business. Another very important milestone during the quarter has been significant improvement in our profitability. During our previous earnings calls, we had indicated our aspiration of achieving EBITDA margins of over 20% during FY27. I am pleased to share that the company has achieved EBITDA margin of more than 23.25% in the very first quarter itself. More importantly, this reflects a structural enhancement in the quality of our business led by various initiatives taken by the company over the last few years. A higher contribution from technology-led products, increasing exports, improved product mix, operating leverage, and our continued focus on innovation are collectively driving stronger profitability. Our objective is not merely to grow revenues, but to build a business that consistently delivers sustainable and profitable growth. Our confidence is further strengthened by the quality of the orders secured during the quarter. We secured several strategically important orders across our core businesses, reinforcing HFCL position as a trusted technology partner in optical connectivity and digital infrastructure. Consequently, our order book is strengthened to approximately 26,665 crore, which is not only all-time high, but is 5 times of FY26 revenue, providing healthy revenue visibility and supporting our confidence in the growth outlook for the company. I am pleased to inform that global optical connectivity industry has entered a new phase of growth. The emergence of artificial intelligence, hyperscale data centers, cloud computing, and high-performance computing is creating an entirely new source of demand for advanced optical fiber infrastructure. These technologies require massive data movement at extremely high speeds, making optical fiber an indispensable part of the ecosystem. But telecom network expansions also remain as an important driver. Based on order received and regular interactions with our customers, we can definitely foresee demand pipeline continuing and market growing for at least next 5 years. In parallel, governments across the world are investing heavily in secure communication networks, strategic infrastructure, and offensive capabilities, creating additional demand from the defense and public infrastructure sectors. As a result, the industry today is supported by multiple demand drivers, making the long-term outlook significantly stronger and more resilient than in earlier investment cycles. In anticipation of the significant opportunities emerging globally, we continue to strengthen our manufacturing capabilities. The expansion of our optical fiber manufacturing capacity from 28 million fiber kilometers to 34 million fiber kilometers is progressing well and will be completed by December 2026. Similarly, the expansion of our optical fiber cable manufacturing capacity from 34 million fiber kilometers to 43 million fiber kilometers and expansion of infrastructure for data center connectivity solutions are also progressing as planned and are expected to be commissioned within targeted timelines. As you know, the board has already approved for setting up of greenfield preform manufacturing facility of 300 metric tons per annum with a capital outlay of 580 crores as high-level backward integration for further strengthening a supply chain with incremental fiber manufacturing capacities. These capacity expansions have been aligned with the orders in hand and increasing global demand and will further strengthen our ability to serve customers across domestic and international markets. Friends, the data center interconnectivity business has created another large opportunity for our optical connectivity segment. With the construction of hyperscale data centers, demand for connectivity solutions is ever increasing. With this increasing demand, we are continuously expanding our capacities for the manufacture of interconnect products for the data centers. The manufacturing capacities, including company subsidiary STL Limited, is being expanded by 5 times. Even in the first year of production, which is the current year, we expect a revenue of more than 700 crores with a clear visibility to increase it further multiple fold in subsequent years. I am pleased to inform that based on global opportunities and inquiries for data center connectivity products, the board of directors of the company in today's meeting has approved for an investment of rupees 215 crores for the expansion of manufacturing base for advanced data center connectivity products, including miniature multi-fiber and super high density multi-fiber termination assemblies. Let me now turn to another exciting opportunity before us, defense and aerospace. Over the last several years, while strengthening our leadership in optical connectivity, we have simultaneously invested in building a differentiated defense business. These investments have been guided by a long-term vision because indigenous development of defense technologies require sustained research and development, product qualification, customer validation, and advanced manufacturing before meaningful commercialization begins. We consciously focus on building indigenous technologies, strengthening engineering capabilities, and creating specialized manufacturing infrastructure to position HFCL for long-term participation in this strategically important sector. Today, we are beginning to see the benefits of these investments. The business has developed a healthy product pipeline, customer engagements have expanded considerably, and we are witnessing increased interest across both domestic and international markets. The proposed acquisition of aerostructure business will expand HFCL's participation in global aerospace value chain, opening doors for many more such opportunities in the segment. We expect this business to generate meaningful order inflows, creating another important avenue of growth for the company. The addressable opportunity before us continues to grow. India is witnessing one of the largest defense modernization programs in its history, supported by increasing capital expenditure, accelerated indigenization, import substitution, and the government's continued emphasis on Atmanirbhar Bharat. At the same time, increasing geopolitical uncertainties have led many countries to strengthen defense preparedness and diversify sourcing strategies. This is creating attractive opportunities for companies with indigenous capabilities and with globally competitive technologies. Today, HFCL's defense portfolio spans surveillance radars of different variants, electronic fuses, thermal imaging solutions, ammunition, tactical cables, aerospace structures with proposed acquisition, and several next generation technologies currently under development. Collectively, these businesses provide us with a strong foundation for sustainable long-term growth. At the beginning of the financial year, we had shared our aspiration of achieving approximately 500 crores of revenue in defense sector during FY27. Based on the current execution pipeline, customer engagements and order visibility, we remain firmly on track to achieve this objective. One of the important milestones during the quarter was the groundbreaking ceremony of our upcoming ammunition manufacturing complex in Andhra Pradesh, held on 15th May 2026. We were honored that this landmark event was graced by the Honorable Raksha Mantri of India and the Honorable Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, reflecting the strategic importance of the project and its alignment with the government's vision of strengthening India's indigenous defense manufacturing ecosystem. The complex is being developed to manufacture advanced ammunition systems, including electronic fuses, multi-mode hand grenades, and other specialized products designed to meet the evolving requirements of Indian armed forces and global customers. We believe this investment will create significant opportunities for HFCL for years to come. Products such as these demonstrate the growing maturity of HFCL's research and development capabilities. These reflect our ability to develop differentiated technologies that solve complex operational challenges while reducing dependence on imported systems. We believe these products will continue to strengthen our competitive positioning in both domestic and international markets. Our long-term aspiration is to build a defense and aerospace business which over the coming years has the potential to become nearly comparable in scale of HFCL's current overall business. Given the opportunities before us, the capabilities we have developed, and the policy support for indigenous defense manufacturing, we remain confident that this business will emerge as one of the most important pillars of HFCL's future growth. As HFCL continues to evolve in a diversified technology enterprise, we are equally focused on ensuring that our organizational structure and capital allocation framework remain aligned with the scale and complexity of our businesses. As communicated earlier, our board had constituted a restructuring committee to evaluate strategic alternatives aimed at simplifying the group structure, enhancing operational efficiency, and unlocking long-term shareholder value. We are actively evaluating various alternatives, and to support this process, we have appointed Ernst & Young as our strategic advisor. The objective of this exercise is clear: to ensure that our organizational structure evolves in line with the transformation of our business portfolio by enabling each business to realize its full growth potential. While it would not be appropriate to comment on specific outcomes at this stage, I would like to assure our shareholders that every decision will be guided by three fundamental principles, which is creating long-term shareholder value, strengthening operational effectiveness, and preserving financial discipline. We'll continue to keep all the stakeholders appropriately informed as this process progresses. Friends, let me now quickly take you through the consolidated financial performance of Q1 of financial year 2027. Revenue for Q1 FY27 stood at 1914.98 crores as compared to 871.02 crores in Q1 of FY26 and 1824.12 crores in Q4 of FY26. EBITDA for Q1 FY27 stood at ₹445.27 crore as compared to 42.93 crores in Q1 of FY26. That is a more than tenfold jump. And ₹336.93 crores in Q4 FY26. EBITDA margin in Q1 of FY27 stood at 23.25% as compared to 4.93% in Q1 of FY26 and 18.47% for Q4 FY26. Profit after tax for Q1 FY27 stood at 245.64 crores. As compared to loss of 29.30 crores in Q1 of FY26 and ₹184.45 crore profit in Q4 of FY26. Net margin in Q1 FY27 stood at 12.83% as compared to negative 3.36% in Q1 of FY26 and 10.11% in Q4 of FY26. Segment revenue from telecom products stood at 85% of total revenue in Q1 25-27 as compared to 62% in Q1 of FY26 and 85% in Q4 of FY26. Export revenue stood at ₹1,063 crores in Q1 of FY27 as compared to only 210 crores in Q1 of FY26 and 1,212 crores in Q4 FY26. During the quarter, the company delivered healthy growth in revenue while continuing to improve profitability. I am particularly encouraged by the improvement in the quality of our earnings. The increasing contribution from technology-led products, exports, and value-added solutions, together with disciplined execution and favorable industry dynamics, is enabling us to build a stronger and more resilient business. Going forward, our priorities remain clear. We'll continue to strengthen our global leadership in optical connectivity. We'll continue to scale our defense and aerospace business into a major growth platform. We'll continue to invest in innovation, advanced technologies, and differentiated products. We'll continue to deepen our relationship with customers across India and global markets. Above all, we will remain committed to disciplined execution, prudent capital allocation, and sustained value creation. Friends, on behalf of the board and the entire management team, I would like to sincerely thank our customers, employees, business partners and shareholders for their continued trust and confidence. Your support inspires us continuously, raise our own benchmarks and strive for excellence in everything we do. Thank you once again for joining us today. We'll now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Aman Saifi with Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, you are very much audible, Aman.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Mr. Nahata, and congrats on a great set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted to understand, we have recently announced investment of 215 crores and we are already doing a preform capex as well. What would be our total capex for this year and next year?
Well, total capex of this year and next year, I can tell you, this year total capex is 640 crores, which includes part of the preform, then the towers, three towers which we are adding, as increasing the manufacturing capacity of fiber from 24 to 30 million fiber kilometers. 28 to 34 million fiber kilometers, and IBR lines, you know, which have been already been ordered and under delivery, 60 crores, and in our subsidiary, the data connectivity business of 65 crores, in defense sector 100 crores, and today what I announced 215 crores, out of which 100 crores would be spent in this year. So total would be 640 crores. Next year would be about 615 crores, out of which 325 crores will go to preform and 175 to defense, and 115 balance of 215 would be in data center connectivity solution. That would be 615.
Got it, sir. That's great. And sir, my second question would be, as you mentioned that this year you are targeting around 500 crores of defense execution. And when I see, sir, our telecom product business, our revenues on a sequential basis are holding up really nice. And if I just annualize that numbers, our annualized revenue comes to around 9,300 crores. That's a significant revenue growth versus what you are guiding as 40%. I'm just trying to understand, when you're having such a large tailwind, why are you being so conservative?
Look, you know, I have not gone into this calculation of 9,000 crores or so, but I can tell you one thing. You know, we had talked of 20% growth in revenue in the last call, and looking at the business potential and all that, and now I say we'll grow by 40%, but it is always good to be conservative, no? If I promise you one and give you two, you would be happy. If I promise you two and give you one, then you are unhappy.
That's great, sir. That's great. Yeah, sir. That's it from my side. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Bala Subramaniam with Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunities. Congratulations for good set of numbers. I think we have really did well. And sir, first question, what is that global scenario on the pricing side, especially in data center and telecom side? I think we have varieties of products like premium side, more than 1,700 fiber counts. And we have 3,500, we have 6,900 counts. So I'm trying to understand what is the pricing level for higher fiber count cables and specialized cables compared to standard 288, 432 fiber cables for telecom product side. And I think international market, we have seen a higher realization compared to domestic market. I think recently we have got one of that biggest export order for data centers. for hyperscalers. You could talk about overall scenarios, and earlier the pricing range anywhere 1,200-1,300 rupees per fiber kilometer. What is that current trend on that pricing side? And if you're talking about 40% growth, whether if you could quantify how much we can expect on that realization side and how much we can expect volume growth side.
Pala Subramanian, you have asked so many questions in one question that it's difficult to remember also what you asked. But anyway, you know, the fiber realization price depends on various things, you know. There is no standard. You know, for telcos, the fiber is different kind, you know, A1 fiber with 250 microns. Data centers is A2 fiber with 200 microns or even less. So price differs significantly. So a range I can give you, you know, it range could be starting from $18 per fiber kilometers to $28 fiber kilometers. It all depends upon what fiber count, what kind of fiber size, you know, what kind of fiber. You know, all depends upon so many things. But I can only give you a range. There is no particular number I can tell you that this is the number. Range you can say from $18 to $28.
That is international market, right, sir?
International market side, that's what I'm saying. Depends who is buying, what kind of fiber he is buying, you know, how many count of fiber he is buying, you know. So this is all very... very dynamic, and again, whether they are long-term orders, short-term orders, so, you know, there is no particular fixed price, I can tell you. But yes, you know, international market, you can take little, you know, data centers if you are talking about, you can take somewhere between $22 to $26, $28, depending again upon, you know, what kind of numbers and what kind of quantities and all that. Telcos could be little lower, because they are different kind of a fiber. So there is no fixed thing as such. This all varies with type of fiber, quantity, longevity, and the long-term contract, all those kind of different things. But certainly, prices have gone up quite a bit, significantly in the last 6 months.
My second question on the project side, I think
sorry to interrupt, Subramaniam. You're not Bala Subramaniam. You're not audible. Could you please come closer to your microphone? Yeah.
Sir, on the project side, earlier call, it's mentioned about the army project. The things will realize from Q2. I think we can expect 170 crore AMC revenue from that front. We are on the track, sir.
Yes. We are on track. From Q2, it should be possible. It is in the final stage. I think another month it should happen.
Okay, so we can expect the loss reduction from Q2 onwards.
Yeah, I would say Q2, mid of Q2, yeah, something like that, or maybe few days here, there. You know, these are the government things. Things can always change by the month. So, but yes, sometime mid of Q2, you can say.
Okay, sir. So my last question is on the margin side. I think last 3 quarters, we are maintaining nearly 30% kind of margins for telecom product side. Right now, we are in that 80%, 85% kind of mix. Whether we should assume same kind of mix the entire year, and what is the sustainability of these margins over the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, sustainable. Because we know our raw material prices, we know our sales prices because there are long-term contracts. So I think the margins are sustainable.
Thank you. Participants, in the interest of time and fairness to others, please restrict yourselves to 2 questions. For any more questions, you may rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Khush Tandon with Ananta Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Good evening. Congratulations on significantly better than expected results. Sir, a couple of questions that I had. The first one was, sir, in this quarter, were there any higher margin orders? You are saying margins are sustainable at these levels. but the quarter's performance, is it sustainable going ahead, sir? Was there any one-time large execution of an order which is not sustainable in the next quarters? Anything like that?
Mr. Khush, you first let me ask you a question. You said
yes.
That the margins are better than expected. What did you expect?
Sir, it won't be fair on my part to answer that question, but you know, significantly better than at least my expectations.
Okay, I was joking, you know, just joking.
Yes.
You know, as far as the margins are concerned, Khush, these are sustainable. There is nothing called a particular high value or high margin order which you have executed. These are the average orders, average prices, you know, on the orders which should continue possibly throughout the year. So there is no kink up and down in any of these, margins. So it's a sustainable, totally sustainable.
Okay, sir, and let's say if you take a three-year view on the business, you know, this super cycle in the optical fiber for data center business, so how are you seeing a three-year outlook, if I may just ask on the pricing environment, the supply-demand environment?
I will give you a five-year outlook. Why 3 years? 3 years,
yes,
is a no-brainer. Even 5 years is no-brainer. Contracts are now getting signed for 10 years. You would have heard that Molex had a contract extension for 10 years. So, five-year outlook, as far as I can understand, there's not going to be any let-up in demand. Demand is going to increase. I give you the reason for that. Right now, if you see, most of the expansion is taking place in North America. You compare India as an example. India's total capacity is, I think, 1.5 gigawatt. In 3 years, we are expecting it to become 3 gigawatt. US's current capacity is about 150 gigawatt. In 3 years, it is expected to be 300 gigawatt. So, Europe, the situation is similar to India. Very low growth. Southeast Asia, Middle East, very low growth. Now, growth is starting to pick up. Middle East, at the moment, is a different kind of environment. I would not venture into that. But minus that, they are picking up the data centers construction. India is picking up good data center construction. Europe has to pick up. They cannot be far behind US. You know, they can be behind, but can't be far behind US. So, world over, market of data center creation is going to go up and up. And the kind of data flow which is required, massive amount of data flow is required. Fiber optic is the only solution. There is no other solution in the world available today. So demand of fiber optic cable is going to increase only. US will have a huge amount of demand. And the places where data center construction have now started, for them to reach to the level of buying fiber, they will take 1 year, 2 year kind of a time frame. So this demand will continue for at least 5 years. And maybe more than that. But 5 years, I can see a clear view that demand is not going to go down.
And sir, if you can give a view on supply also, especially Chinese supply, which may not be going to US immediately, but sir, in a 5 year horizon, whenever there is a large supply demand gap, probably then suppliers also catch up, sir. So any view on the supplies?
Look, you know, you asked a question on China. Right now, as you know, U.S. is the largest market. Now, in the U.S., China, one, they don't prefer China. I don't think there is an administrative order not to buy from China, but there is an administrative advice that administration is not in favor of buying from China. I was with one of the customers whom I will not name in U.S. a few weeks ago. And when we talked about the Chinese, they said, look, our administration is not in favor of our buying Chinese fiber. And this was a major hyperscaler. Now, question is, what would happen to China increases capacity? One is unwillingness to buy from China, then higher duty on China. Today, there is a 35% duty on Chinese fiber, anything you import from China and US. So, in any case, the competitiveness of Chinese fiber goes down when you compare with us because of this higher amount of duty, 10 service, 35. So supply, yes, would increase, but demand would also increase, as I can see it. Now, the another sector of demand which has come for defense industry is fiber optic drones. Today, there is a demand of almost 70 to 100 million fiber kilometers of fiber for A2 type of fiber for fiber optic drones. And this demand is going to increase because till now only those countries are buying fiber for the fiber optic drones which are in war. But now slowly every country is realizing that, you know, radio control drones are not good. They can be controlled by jamming their frequency or such different methodologies. So people are using optical drones. And drones are the new fighting machines, as you know. No longer guns and all that, you know, artillery and all that. So drones are becoming increasingly popular. So every country is now preparing for fiber optic drones. There is a huge new demand opportunity has come up there. So supply is going to increase. Now China, I would not worry much as far as US market is concerned, which is a major market at this point of time. Southeast Asia, yes, China would dominate. But Middle East, Europe, we have always been competing with China in telecom market. And we'll continue to do so for the data center market also. Because, you know, our capacities are also now, you know, big enough, you know, world-class capacities. It's not that we don't have economies of scale. We do have economies of scale and we would be able to compete.
Okay. Sir, is the cost of production in India and the cost of production in China with the duty, is it significantly cheaper than to procure from India?
No, I don't procure anything from China.
No, sir, not you, sir. Your customers.
No, today, you know, US, for example, many of them don't even consider procuring from China. Forget about prices.
Okay. Okay.
But today, China is not cheaper. That much I can say. Even if somebody wants to procure, it's not cheaper.
Okay.
I don't procure from China. Yes, we do.
I would request you to rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Riken with Capri Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations. Great set of results. Sir, I have two questions. First, if you could help understand both on the long-term, the contracts that you have won on the optical network side, are these fixed price in nature, or what kind of mechanism, because your orders are like 3 years, 4 years out kind of orders. So what kind of pricing mechanisms do they have? And in one of your comments, you did touch upon the fact that on the raw material side also, we have fixed contracts. So if you could elaborate a little bit in terms of the kind of inflation that you are seeing on the raw material and whether that could have any impact on our margin performance.
Most of the long-term contracts with the raw material or the sales have a variation clause on a yearly basis. Yearly basis, prices are rediscussed. But in between, if there are large variations, then that will also be discussed. You know, if there are large variations, which I don't anticipate, but if the yearly reset of the prices is always there, that depending on the market condition, also there are reset clauses. But that opportunity has still not come because these contracts are not even year old. So I cannot say, but that the sales contract, there would be any reset or not. But yes, there was a reset in between when US imposed 50% duty. At some point of time, there was a reset. Customers paid large part of their duty. And good thing is that that duty has been refunded and we have paid them back.
Right. Right. Got it. Got it. So in terms of both on the fix, on the supply side, the raw material side or on the demand side, it would not lead to any major impact on our margins is the reading that I'm taking from here. Because it would be in some form of pass-through.
Because I tell you, it's both sides, you know. Sales price will increase if the raw material price increased significantly. Significantly, I'm using the, you know. If there is a 5% increase, the customer is not going to increase 5%, you know. It's not a moving thing. If there is a significant increase, then we go back to the customer. If there is a significant decrease, customer comes back to us. The 50% example I gave you, when there was 50% duty imposition, now I could not take a 50% duty. customers helped me and they were very helpful. But when the duty has been refunded, we have paid them back.
Got it. Got it. So that is very clear, sir. The second question which I have is on the new pillars of growth which you alluded to, which is the defense and aerospace business. If you could give us some kind of visibility in terms of any product approvals that have been achieved in the defense business. And second, in the aerospace business, by let's say FY 28 or 29 and defense business, what kind of execution or top line do you think that we would be able to achieve in these two businesses, each of these businesses?
In 28-29, I think, you know, this is 28-29, in our defense and aerospace business, we should be crossing 3,000 crores at least. And the year next to that, our target is 5,000 crores. So, 28-29, we should be 3,000 crore plus, because we are right now having, including one of the acquisition which we have signed and which is in process of getting completed, you know, acquisition process in advanced stage. Including that, we will definitely cross 3,000 because in that we are in negotiation for larger contracts for export also. Currently the order book for export is roughly about 2,200 crores. We have been shortlisted for a major contract for modernization of BMP-2 and we have submitted the modernized sample also. And I wouldn't like to say that, but it's a fact that in the internal trials, our equipment has been found to be the best, we have modernized. But again, that is the internal trial, not the army trial. Army trial has started from 20th. So that should be, our trial should be completed in over 1.5 months. Then the winter trial and then the order, it takes time, but I am quite hopeful on that. So aerospace order, land system orders, I believe that we should, 3 years time I have given to myself for 5,000 crores, you know.
Got it. So this year at least we should see order inflows starting to come through in a meaningful way for both these segments?
Yes, yes, I agree with you, meaningful way. For our indigenously designed products, we have now, what we have done, different kind of radars and sensors we have integrated by a C2 system, command and control system. And we are going to give demonstration to Army and Northern Command sometime in the month of September as an integrated system. And moreover, you must have heard of Home Ministries, this thing for securing the borders, bordering Pakistan and Bangladesh through border protection system. There also the products which are designed are going to have a quite significant use. So there also they are talking of a POC, proof of concept. There also we will be working with them to work on a proof of concept which BSF is organizing. So all these places we expect a reasonable amount of orders to come to us.
Got it, sir. So just one last question.
So sorry to interrupt, Rikin. I would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sanjay Shah with KSA Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Nataji, first of all, highly, highly congratulations, and your tone of confidence in opening remarks was excellent, and the way you're putting so many efforts since last so many years are now coming to show, and we are very well placed. So my question was more regarding the optic fiber cable market, which is projected to reach around 21 billion by 2033 because of this growing driven by hyperscale data center and surging bandwidth demands of artificial intelligence. But what we see that there are many international players from Italy and Japan and all who are increasing capacity like Prysmian and Corning and all. So how we look HFCL on that side after this capacity which may come up, because Prysmian is spending around $1.5 billion to double their capacity. So how, what is the thought process on that which can help us a lot to understand the growth path?
Vijay, first of all, thank you very much for your compliments. Look, we are also increasing our capacity. We are also world-class players. You know, we started with 8 million kilometers of fiber capacity. Now today we are going to be 34 million very soon. Cable, we started something like 10-12 million. I am talking about these recent years, not old. Old days. Old days was much less. So today we are going to be 45 million. So and you know, last 2 years or 3 years, every month we are increasing capacity. And I don't think that this 34 million kilometer fiber or 45 million kilometer of cable is the end of it. The, you know, we are constantly reviewing that. As we receive more orders, as we receive more order demand, as we receive more inquiries from customers, we are constantly reviewing that. And maybe we will have to further increase capacity. I am not denying that, you know. I am not saying that we will, but this is under constant review. And if necessary, we will also increase the capacity. And no doubt that we are receiving large number of inquiries at this point of time. As I talk, we really do not know whom to say yes or whom to say no. I'm really telling you, you know. If I say yes to one, I have to say no to other one. So, you know, that has become the situation. So we are really keeping a very close watch, and maybe in near future we may have to decide to increase our capacities further, which I am not saying we have decided, but we may have to.
That's great, sir. But how about the pricing? Because all this capacity come up when there could be a flood of supply. Is that true, what I understand?
Look, you know, flood of supply, I tell you one thing. There are two major issues out here. One, technology. The data center operators are not buying normal fiber optic cables. For example, they are buying 7,000 fiber cables. Now, how many of fiber optic cable suppliers have that kind of number of fiber cable? Only very few, handful. So, there, India, we have 20 suppliers for fiber optic cable. But there are only two who can manufacture these kind of cables. My other friend may say that I do not have, but I have. So, you know, there are only two. So, 18 do not have. So, if you look that kind of a number, there would be only very few people who have that kind of a capability to develop and supply those kind of products. Then you have further changes in technology also coming up. You know, it's not going to be, technology is not going to remain constant. For example, multi-core fiber, hollow-core fiber, all these are coming up. We are developing hollow-core fiber. Now, there are how many people in the world who are developing hollow-core fiber? So, this is also a question of technology, number one. Number two, a reputation in the market. Look, other people also, are connected with the hyperscalers who are already supplying to them. And we will have a long-term relationship with those guys. We have signed up 5-year contracts. So, when more demand comes up, naturally, they are not going to be changing their suppliers unnecessarily. Just because demand has gone down, maybe they buy less from us at that point of a time. But as I said, I don't expect demand to go down for next 5 years at least. Capacities are not going to be matching, you know, the increase in demand. Demand is still going to outstrip the capacity for 5 years at least, I can see.
So, sir, on technology side, can we take HFCL at par with the global players?
Yes, absolutely. 7,000 fiber cable we have already developed. We are now developing 14,000 fiber cable. Maybe there is a difference of 2-3 months here, there, you know, that can always happen, but not more than that. Hollow core fiber, yes, Corning has already done higher amount of work in hollow core fiber than others, but we are also doing, you know, by the time hollow core fiber becomes somewhat commercial, you know, it is right now thousands of dollars per kilometer. It's not even worth considering. But by the time it becomes somewhat commercial in any quantity, we would also be coming up with the hollow core fiber. We are already in development phase with IIT Delhi for hollow core fiber. IIT Delhi and one of the government organizations in Kolkata, which already has a tower for manufacturing hollow core kind of a fiber. We are already working on that. So we are staying in forefront of technology. You know, another point, unless we were in the forefront of technology, we will not be receiving a $1 billion contract kind of a thing either for the cable or for connectivity solutions. We recently received a contract for that one. 500 crores? Or, no, you know, another thing I must tell you. Connectivity solution has also emerged as a very large market. Very large market. It's not small. It is going to be almost as, near about as big as the, you know, higher length cable market. So you need as much connectivity solutions also, and that is more value-added product. Because you buy connectors, you cut into pieces, you connectorize them, and you send them, which is all a manual process. So where there is higher value addition. So it is also a very high potential market, and what your company is doing, I am increasing my capacity for connectivity products by 5x. In less than a year's time, or less than a year's time, progressively, my capacity will be 5 times more than what it is today. Because that's a major market which is emerging now. Where, you know, the size is going to be very, very big, billions of dollars worth of market. Because if you need data, if you have data center, you need connectivity solution. Then what also we have done, not only cable or, you know, cable loops and all that, we are also developing, developed, you know, passive, all kind of products for passive connectivity solution, plastic boxes, cassettes, you know, jointing boxes and all that. So we can be one-stop shop for all connectivity solutions for a data center cable and all other products, you know, the plastic trays and the cassettes and all that, you know, which are required inside data centers, you will be one-stop shop. So it's going to be entire set of connectivity solutions. That is another leap we have taken in this business.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manik Mahajan with Balyasny Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the good set of numbers. The first thing I wanted to understand was with respect to your comment on the margin and the margin guidance of 20%, you mentioned that for the...
Sir, why is that in between? Can just be near the microphone and say that again?
Sure. Can you hear me now better?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was saying that with respect to your comment around the margins, you mentioned that the margins on the telecom business would be sustainable at 30%. So when I think about the overall guidance of 20%, is there any seasonality we need to take in account? Because this quarter you've already done about 23% of EBITDA margins.
Your voice is a bit, you know, echoing. Just let me understand.
Okay.
Give me a moment.
Let me try to...
You know, his voice is a lot of echo, so it doesn't come out.
Is it better? Is it better now?
Yeah, say that again. Now. Yeah, Mr. Manik, go ahead.
Manik.
From a margin perspective. Yes, can you hear me?
Manik, you're not audible.
Your voice is echoing, you know, so that your voice is particular kind of echo, so it does not... Yeah, say that again, but try again.
Okay, so I'm saying that with respect to the margins, if you can share whether we should expect some seasonality from a quarter perspective, because we've already done 23% and we're guiding for 20% for the full year.
Asking that, will there be any seasonality in telecom margin or is it sustainable?
So you are saying that is there any seasonality in telecom margin or is it sustainable? Is that the question?
Yeah, because your full year guidance is 20% and this quarter you have already done 23%.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand why is the full year guidance lower than the quarterly guidance?
Yes, I understand. Look, there's no seasonality. You know, the reason being, as I said in one of the previous questions answer, that this 23% margin is out of the normal average contracts which we are executing and which we would be executing throughout the year. These are the average contracts which more or less would remain same throughout the year. So there's no seasonality at all. Seasonality is not there. So this 23% margin is something minimum we would be able to protect to the best of my information at this point of time out of the orders I have, raw material costs I have. But if there is some geopolitical situation happens and something changes which is not in my control or your control, you know, some people close Suez Canal and the deliveries become delayed and any such thing happens which you, I cannot control, I cannot say, but whatever in control of a business is, this will be having no problem.
Got it. That's helpful. And just one more follow-up from with respect to the greenfield telecom project. How does that alter the company's overall return profile and or the margin profile?
Look, you know, the pre-project, you know, would mean, I think you asked about the pre-form, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right.
The pre-form project is designed for the two perspectives. One, bring in more sustainability in the raw material supply chain, because we would need a lot of pre-form, and that lot of pre-form, some parts should we be able to manufacture. So that is one part of it, that it would bring in more sustainability in the supply chain. Number two, the make versus buy analysis when you make is at least, I would say, 30% cheaper. At least 30% cheaper as on today. Now, situation might change 5 years down the road, I don't know. But as on today, make is 30% cheaper than buy. So raw material cost would go down for preform to that percentage. In a fiber, 70% cost is preform. So 65 to 70% you would say. So fiber cost would go down by 80 to 20%. But again, when you go to cable, then you know cable fiber constitutes about 60%. So total of the total cost, roughly about 45% is, you would say, is preform. So total there would be 10% saving the raw material cost, something like 10-12%.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nikhil Purohit with Fident Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on another great set of numbers. So firstly, we had some unbilled revenues at the end of quarter 4 FY26 and I expected this to be billed in quarter 1. What is the update on this?
So it has been billed. It stands billed. So it's a major amount of 300 crore which has been billed.
Okay, great. We had also said that the 1.1 billion order that we got from a hyperscaler would only start execution from the end of quarter 1 FY27. My question is, do we expect to sustain this kind of revenue of 1900 crores that we've seen in this quarter in the coming quarters? Because H2 is generally a stronger half. Or is it possible to see a quarter-on-quarter decline?
No, there is not going to be quarter-on-quarter decline. You know, 5 or 10% here, there, you know, it's very difficult to predict. But generally, we should be able to maintain roughly about this kind of revenue. And profitability, I would say, also not decline. Profitability would also be remaining, to the best of my estimate, around the, you know, we will not be inferior than this. Better, how much I cannot say, will not be inferior to this, in my opinion.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Khushi Soni with Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. My question was regarding the order book that we currently have. Could you throw some light on how much of this pertains to the defense part and how much would be from the optical fiber cables?
Look, optical fiber cable is roughly about 16,000 crores. Defense part, you know, including the, you know, acquisition which we have proposed, if I take that into account, then it would be roughly about, and which is not included in this 2,600, let me tell you, it's not included in this 26,000 crores, but I would take it as my order, you know, because that acquisition is already final stage of completion. If I take that into account, then the order book would be something like 2,300 crores or so. Without that, it would be about something like 300 crores or so. But one should take that into account because that is acquisition is almost done.
All right. So out of this 2,600 crores, if I understand correctly, currently only 300 crores of defense order is included. Additional acquisition is over and above that.
1,000 crores.
1,000 crores. All right. And if you could help me with what kind of revenue breakup in the telecom segment do we see with OFC and the data center solutions that we have been providing?
Look, in the data center solution business, Khushi, we started this year only. This is the first year of data center business. And first year, I think Q1 would have been about 100 crores or so, I think. Something like 100 crore, maybe little bit here there. But the full year, we are looking at 800 crores number, roughly about 800 crores number. This is the first year of data center connectivity business. But as I said little while ago, I am increasing this capacity by five times. So I don't want to multiply this 800 number by five times or that, you know. But there is going to be significant increase in data center revenue in time to come. This is the first year of data center connectivity business. You must understand that. So, but still we are going to get about 800 crores of revenue from that business. We already have almost 850 crore plus orders in our hand, and we are receiving more orders for that. So capacity is being expanded by five times.
All right. Thank you, sir. Just one last clarification.
Sorry to interrupt, Rishi. I would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jigar Jani with Nuvama PCG Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations, sir, on a great set of numbers. I had two questions. First, was on your segmental assets. I could see about a 1,000 crore increase on the telecom side of products on the asset side. So what is this capitalization related to compared to Q4 FY26?
Just a second.
So it is aligned with whatever mean capex we are doing or the incremental revenue we are having. So that
no,
that this increase.
Asset fixed asset base
no,
or
not fixed asset base. The overall.
You are talking current asset plus fixed asset or only fixed asset?
Overall assets is talking of.
No, so the segmental assets that you disclose, which is telecom products, defense products, so that has gone from about 3,978 crores in Q4 to about 5,000 crores. So there is a 1,000 crore addition. I believe our capex is still to come online, the expansion, or part of it is online already? The fiber cable expansion?
The fiber cable expansion is already happening. A preform has not yet started. The fiber and cable expansion is already happening. But just let me see the numbers.
It includes all the assets, whatever capex we are incurring or the receivable side, the inventory side, because everything is being built on the incremental revenue now and keeping in view the revenue progress month on month basis.
So it is fixed assets plus working capital. Yeah, it is all put together. Not only fixed assets.
Okay, it's receivables also which might have gone up basically.
Inventory, receivables, fixed assets, it's a mixture of all.
Okay, understood, sir. And sir, secondly, on the EPC project, you had guided that we will be profitable this year.
One second.
The net increase is just 400 crore. You see the segment liabilities also of telecom product that has increased by 600 crore roughly. So the net increase in the telecom asset side is just 400 crore only.
It's not 1,000 crore, it's net increase in 400 crores.
Oh, okay. Understood, sir. And sir, on the EPC side, the profitability, we were guiding for profitability in FY27. So is that still on track that for full year FY27 on the EPC side, we will see some profitability this year?
EPC side, one of the major, downside was this army warranty period where we were supporting army network without getting anything. So which we expect to be signed in the Q2, which I earlier said, and which is on track. It would be signed on Q2. And post signing of that, revenue from EPC would increase and loss would significantly come down. I don't say that there will not be any loss. There may be some. There may be some, but may not be also. It's very right now too early to predict. But it will significantly come down, no doubt about that.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Tej Patel with Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, sure, Mr. Tej.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So my question is again on related to margins. I understand, sir, probably at least for the, let's say, the upcoming 6 months up till December, we probably, you know, able to maintain these margins. My question is, let's say once our preform cost revises at the start of the next calendar year, you know, how would we be able to maintain the current margins given, you know, let's say our older contracts were at a very lower price, maybe let's say lower than the current market price of the preforms. But once this preform contract revises to a newer price, you know, how would we be able to maintain margins, you know, after Q3 of this year?
Look, some preform contracts are long term, which are going to be surviving beyond this financial year and maybe almost towards the end of this coming financial, almost. So, and we have taken adequate steps to not to let preform price for the most of our quantity to increase any significantly, because we would be manufacturing our own preforms also. So impact would not be any serious impact on the profitability. There may be a couple of percentage here there, and that would be offset by the increase in the prices on the customers. Because the kind of demand we have, I don't find any reason why the customer price will not increase. And the number two, connectivity solutions where the profitability margins are little better because of it has got much more value addition from the cable, then you can cut it, connectize it and then ship it. So all that would be balancing each other. Overall margin profile would still remain the same.
Understood, but then sir, if you could help quantify some, when you say some, you know, what part of contract or how much of the contract is extended to the next financial year as well?
Well, you know, I will not be able to go in that much of detail. You know, these are some NDAs and company confidential, but yes, as I said, margin profile will not go down because better price realization for the customers, better value-added products, and quite a significant part of preform price not increasing, and whatever increase is there will be offset by the more value-added products and better price realization. So overall margin would not be impacted. That is what I am emphatically telling you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Tushar Tunde with Sangvi Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. First of all, congratulations, sir, on a good delivery in this quarter. My first question was regarding the hyperscaler contract that we have. Is it regarding the supply of optical fiber cable, A, or data center interconnectivity products as well, or a mix of both? And if it is regarding on the optical fiber cable, do we see any complementary demand coming for the data center interconnected products as well for the same contract? And has the execution of the contract started? As you said, it might start from the end of 1Q of FY27 in the last call.
Look, we have both orders, but separate orders for cable and separate order for data center connectivity solution. A single order does not have both, but different orders. But different orders from different customers are there, which are cable and data center connectivity solutions both. And more data center connectivity solution orders as well as cable orders are expected from different hyperscalers. Not one, but different hyperscalers. We are negotiating with a number of them. And maybe another month's time or maybe less than that, we may have more orders coming up. So it is for both, to answer your question, and the delivery. For both data center, you know, cable is going to start probably from now. Yes, this month it should start, and the connectivity may be a month later.
Okay, okay. And my next question was regarding the defense revenue aspiration that I guess in the opening remarks you said we would be doing 500 crores of revenue in this particular year. Is that correct?
So wait, just a second. I was answering your question and you started in between.
My bad.
Data center, you know, you asked a particular contract, you know, that I said, yes, we'll start a particular kind of a, you know, miniature solution, which we call it, MMC, mm-hmm. from the next month or so. But otherwise, MPO cables and all that delivery has already commenced. That is already on. That's what we said. We made about 100 crore revenue in the first quarter, and the overall year revenue we expect around 800 crores. So yeah, next question.
Yeah, my next question was regarding the defense vertical. In the opening comment, you mentioned that we would be doing 500 crores of revenue in the defense vertical. Did I heard that right?
Yeah, you heard it right. Absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. So is it including the acquisition that we would be doing or?
Yes. You are right. Absolutely right.
Oh, okay. And when do we expect the acquisition to be complete?
Within this calendar year. Within this calendar year. Calendar
so
year.
Can we expect the consolidation to happen from the 4Q of 2026?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you and all the best for your future.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Rushabh Vasa with Insect Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. First of all, congratulations on a good set of results. My question is basically on the data center connectivity total addressable market. So basically, you are targeting, what is the target when it comes to the new MMC and the SNMT facility? You have stated that 2.7 lakh assemblies per annum. And what kind of global spend on this product category are you underwriting? What share do you expect to capture? And another question is on the concentration of the private book, order book, which is around 16,000 crores. And what is the expected timeline for, you know, the entire 26,000 crore book, order book? How many years will be taking in order to, you know, complete this order? And what is the schedule for FY27? Yeah.
Look, now, this 26,000 crore orders, there are various orders of various kinds. There are fiber optic cable orders which are, you know, 5-year contracts. There are, you know, BharatNet kind of contracts, these are 3-year contracts. So, O&M contracts are 7-year contracts. So, you have different, you know, but out of 26,000 crores, I would say 22,000 crores or so would be within 5-year period. Within 5-year period.
Yeah, that is asked by other participants.
Yeah, so we should be 22,000 plus would be within 5-year period.
Yeah.
So it would all be liquidated within 5 years, but more orders are always being received. As we execute, we receive more orders. And that is how 26,000 crore is the all-time high order book for us. It's all-time high order book. This quarter has been all-time high order, all-time high EBITDA, all-time high revenue, all-time high PBT, all-time high PAT. So this is what I would like to mention again. So 16,000 crore which you mentioned just now, 16,000 crore you just mentioned just now, that is the order for fiber optic cable. And it again varies from 3 months to 4 years kind of a context. So it will be executed accordingly.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Satya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Namaste, Nataji. Congratulations on the all-time best quarter. And thank you so much for a great performance. I had a couple of questions. One is on the spot price of the optic fiber cable side. How is the trend generally? I know overall it has been, we are getting very high prices, but still that momentum is continuing. Are we still getting great and better prices on the spot side? Are they falling or you are seeing the growth continue?
No, spot prices are not falling at this moment. Spot prices could be a little better. But you know, remember one thing. There is nothing called spot. There is no fiber optic cable which is standard fiber optic cable. It is always fit to specs. Everybody needs a different kind of a spec, most of them. So any spot would also be 4 to 6 months. But anyway, so such kind of spot prices would have some better pricing, you know, some 5, 10, 15% depending upon buyer, would have a better pricing than a 5-year contract, you know, 15-20% better.
Right. So second question on the capacity side, the capacity expansion that we have been doing, what is the status of the IBR optic fiber cable capacity and what is the timeline status of that? And secondly, sir, we are developing the high density fiber cables. Where are we on that? What are the timelines on that? Just wanted to get a sense of those.
No, as far as IBR is concerned, we already have capacity of roughly about more than 14 million fiber kilometers, as much as I remember. 12 machines are there, 14 million fiber kilometers, and which is being expanded every month. Every month expansion is happening. So, you know, its expansion is every month business. So this capacity will keep on increasing. As far as, what was your second question?
Density fiber cables, I know we had 9,000 and 14,000, and those numbers, we are developing those cables. Where are we on the timelines for that?
Well,
when do we expect them to commercialize?
No, no, what do you mean by density commercialization, you know? 3,000.
Sir, we had the 7,000 fibers in a cable.
Already we have, that. You know, selling. For US market, approval is under process. And some other market, we have started selling.
Right. And sir, what about 14,000?
14,000?
Under development.
Under development, it will take another 2 to 3 months.
Right. Well, sir, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Darshil Jhaveri with Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of results. I think great is also an understatement for your results this quarter, sir. Hope that this continues. So just wanted to understand, like, from the debt side perspective, how do we see that increasing with such a high level of growth we are doing? So can you, you know, comment a bit on the level of debt you want, the working capital cycle, sir? How would that be, sir?
Look, you know, the debt equity ratio is very reasonable at the moment. It's a 0.3.
0.3.
So 0.3 is, you know, there cannot be any more comfortable debt equity ratio than that. And it is likely to remain in this range only. It's not going to increase further than that. So 0.3.
Yeah. Yes. No, just because we'll be doing a lot of capex, right? So in terms of cash flow generation, how should we look at it? So
going to be internal generation also. We're going to and part of that will be kept on being paid as well, you know, because every month we are paying. So finally, the ratio would remain around 0.3 only.
Okay, so the ratio will remain around 0.3, right, sir? And sir, just wanted to understand, like, due to monsoon, this Q2, you know, quarter that, you know, can have slight decline, or how do we just, you know, see that, sir, as Q2?
Look, you know, the, you know, total revenue, most of the revenue is coming from fiber optic cable, and that too from exports. In exports, you know, US doesn't have monsoon, you know, so don't worry.
Okay, sir. So quarter on quarter, we can see the same run rate going on, sir.
More or less, you know, now 10% here, mm-hmm. there, I would not say anything on that. But more or less,
okay.
Same, and as I said in the beginning of my statement, that earlier we had talked about 20% growth in revenue in the whole year. Now we are saying that compared to last year, we are, to the best of our knowledge and estimate, we are saying that the growth would be 40%, not 20%.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dhruv Bajaj with Growth Sphere Ventures. Please go ahead.
So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Congratulations on an amazing set of results, sir, especially on the optical fiber cable front. I think we are exceeding the expectation that everyone has set up for our business. But sir, I had some questions regarding the different piece, especially the restructuring part. So based on our understanding, so we have transferred the entire defense vertical into HFCL Advanced Systems, correct? Hello?
No. It's not the entire. Ammunition business, electronic fuses, those are still remaining in HFCL. And we are not how we would restructure the entire business. Our board is considering that with the consulting firm E&Y advising us. We are doing that work at this moment of time, that how to restructure to the best interest of all the shareholders, all the stakeholders, and to maintain profitability or increase profitability and revenue both. So each sector of the business gives better revenue, better profitability. That's how we are.
So, but is it fair to say that for the recent acquisitions that we made, like of Destis, Final Advance, and similarly other thermal weapon and all business, where we have some 1900 crores of order book, we have transferred that business into HFCL Advanced System, right?
Sir, those
ammunition will be on your business for us. I think we have not started the production or any sales for that business.
That HFCL, which is a subsidiary of HFCL, it's not a
sort
of your business. Actually, it is transferred into a subsidiary.
Sir, but the question that is coming from my end is, like, we have diluted a significant extent of the overall, of that particular defense business. So now HFCL Limited, wherein we as minority shareholders are invested into HFCL Limited, owns only 51% stake in that business.
Wait, you are not realizing one thing. We have not diluted, we have acquired business also. Aerospace business we were not in, we have acquired that business. And with acquisition of that business, which already has an order book of more than 2,000 crores, and expecting orders of another few thousand crores, so it's not a dilution. Dilution with acquisition. And any acquisition you do, you have to have some dilution, but you are getting huge amount of business together with that.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pritesh Kotadia with Anand Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congrats for an amazing set of numbers, and also would like to thank you for the opportunity you gave for the plant visit, which I came to Hyderabad on 12th of June.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it was a very great experience.
Thank you.
Yeah, sir, yeah, so my question will be regarding preforms. So we will set up the manufacturing which plant for the preform manufacturing?
We are in process of deciding, and within this month we will decide which exact location. We are considering 2-3 different locations, and one of the locations we will decide and set up.
Okay, and what will be the cost, I mean capex for that?
Right now the board has approved 580 crores.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ravi Mehta with One Up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question was on the telecom product revenue. So what's the total, apart from cable and fiber, the product sales that happens, what was that and how are you seeing that revenue panning out? I believe the data center connectivity piece is within that. I just wanted to understand a little bit on that side.
Data center is part of optical fiber cables. This is unlicensed band radio, routers, and Wi-Fi systems. These are the products which are contributing to that particular revenue.
And that is also being clubbed within the telecom product.
Yes.
So what is that quantum in this quarter, and where do you see that revenue going?
This revenue in the whole full year, we are looking at 500 to 600 crores on an overall basis, and it will probably contribute 10% or even less than that of the total revenue.
Okay, and is it margin dilutive or accretive?
No, it is margin accretive, but not very high margins. The EBITDA margins could be something like 15-16%. 15%, I would say 12-15%, not 15-16%, 12-15%.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Meet Katrodia with Niveshai. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, my question is, this quarter, 50% of the revenue was from export, right? So how do you see this mix changing by end of FY27? And within export, can you please provide a breakup that is 100% the cables are for data center, or is there something that we are also shipping from telecom? And also if you can throw some light on margin differential between IBR cable and normal flat loose cable as well.
Last question is something I cannot answer, because that's really confidential, that how much margin on which kind of cable you get. But as far as your first question of I think export revenue, I would rather say, should remain around 60% or so, and 40% would be for local revenue on overall basis, because the defense revenue mostly would be local. There would be some revenue from local data centers and telecom for the fiber optic cable. So overall ratio, telecom revenue is all local. So overall basis, you should say roughly about 60-40, 65-35, that kind of a range, with export being.
Got it, sir. And sir, one question on preform that you are very much confident on this year margin and also next year as well. So let's say if our supplier, we must be doing a negotiation with our supplier, right? So how much price increase they are asking, and are we also talking similar with our customer to pass on this price, or just want to understand why you are so much confident on these margins?
Confident because we have some of the contracts are long-term contracts, as I said. Some of the contracts are not so long-term, but at the same point of time, if there are some margin, overall, some increase in the price of preform, there would be compensated by two factors. One, better pricing from the customers, and also the more value-added products like data center products which we have created. Those are more value-added products, so they have a better profitability, somewhat better profitability. So overall profitability, in spite of increasing the preform prices, is not going to be impacted, as I have said multiple times, and I am again saying that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. Investors may connect with Mr. Amit Agarwal, the head of IR, for any further clarifications. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management of HFCL for the closing remarks.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was really a very nice interaction with all of you, and I really compliment for the very nice questions asked by all of you, and patiently hearing my presentation and my answers. I hope I have been able to reply to all your queries to your satisfaction. Still, if you have more queries, you can ask our IR team, I mean, led by Amit Agarwal, and we will be very glad to answer. If I receive any query, I would be very glad to answer. But yes, gentlemen, as I said in the beginning of my presentation, company is on a good progress path. We have delivered numbers which to date in the history of the company, highest in terms of revenue and profitability, order book all. We have a 26,000 crore order book, which is itself tells you the sustainability of the business of the company. Fiber optic cable business is on growth path. We have increasing, we are increasing capacities, and we are constantly reviewing the demand, and increased demand may need more increase in capacity, which we will do if required. Data center connectivity business, we have started this year, and this year itself we would be reaching to about 800 crores in the revenue, and we are increasing that capacity of connectivity solutions by 5 times, including our subsidiary STL, and so it would be a significant part of revenue because it's a value-added product, and to a large extent it will offset if there is any increase in the raw material prices, if at all, or it may add to profitability. Margins are not going to decline in the current year unless there is some geopolitical situation which is out of my control. For example, if Suez Canal closes or something else happens which is not in my control. But otherwise, from the company's business perspective, the growth, which revenue growth, which we had talked about 20%, which we are now saying that it, to the best of our expectations, it would be 40% growth in the revenue. Profitability, which we said that it will increase by 2-3% from the 16-17% last year, has already grown to, instead of 20%, it has reached to 23%. And we expect this to continue in the next quarters also. So, ladies and gentlemen, with all your blessings, all your support, company has done well, and we assure you that we will continue to do well. Thank you very much, and we are ready to answer any further queries you have, which you may write by email to our IR head, Mr. Amit Agarwal. Thank you very much to all of you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nuvama Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.